Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke with Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest. Your hermitage of the mind. Okay, good enough.
There you go.
Right. And what are we resting from? We're resting from we're in a difficult time in the church. You know?
We're resting from the noise. We're resting from the scandals
news.
And the news and the pain and the suffering. And so come lean into the Lord for a little bit.
Yeah. And what our goal here is to be healed. So that we can go be healers, right?
That's
our goal
right.
is to draw near to Christ so that we can bring him to the world in the midst of all the difficulties. So we're not escapist, but we know wherein our strength lies, which is in God. And our goal is to draw others to that same reality so that we can heal the church and heal the world, which we do at the Avila Institute. We do at the Avila Foundation and all the work that we do, spiritualdirection.com. One real quick thing before we jump in today, we're going to do Q&A on marriage spirituality. And that is, we're celebrating 10 years at the Avila Foundation. Really, it's 10 years since the founding of spiritualdirection.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can win a free ride and pilgrimage to France.
Right.
All expenses paid. And or a free pilgrimage to Alabama to the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament and our Spiritual Warfare Conference this summer, which is completely sold out. And the pilgrimage, we've already filled a bus, so we're getting pretty tight. So if you want to come, jump in. But spiritualdirection.com/10 years, 10 YEARS, spiritualdirection.com/10 years to join and potentially win a trip to France, to our pilgrimage to Lourdes, and to see the sites of Elizabeth of the Trinity and Thérèse of Lisieux. It's a Carmelite pilgrimage, basically.
That's right, and you can go to avila-institute.org/events to see the schedule, to see everything that's involved in that pilgrimage.
And what you might win.
What you might win, and you might choose to just sign up to go with us and be a hero in some loved person's life.
Oh, you got to buy them a ticket to do that.
Yeah, but bring them with you.
There you go.
Trip of a lifetime.
So spiritualdirection.com/10 years to win. We have questions and answers today on marriage spirituality.
That's right. We're going to begin with Gina. And Gina's question, statement and question is, our prayer time with the Lord is most intimate, and at times it can be difficult to begin conjugal prayer as a couple. It requires a willingness to be vulnerable, and in a marriage that is struggling, this can be very difficult, a very difficult initial hurdle to jump. The distractions we frequently encounter in personal prayer are often multiplied in conjugal prayer, as the enemy does not desire the abundant fruits of this prayer to take root. This is all true.
Mm-hmm.
Can you provide some practical steps within a marriage that can help to make this transition fruitful, and methods by which married couples can persevere? Well, you and I know quite a bit about this. When we first came together, people may not know this, but I was a nominal Catholic mm-hmm. when you sought me and found me and reached out to me. But I had begun turning to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I had promised to him that I would, if he would take over my life, that I would do whatever he asked me. And he gave me you.
Yeah.
And the first thing you asked was, will you pray with me? So we had that initial gift of your ability to pray and your desire to pray as a couple. But after we were married, we started praying before we were married, but we started that process. And those distractions are huge. And the enemy does want to divide. And I was a very, I can just speak from myself. I was a very broken person, so we would go together to pray, and I had this desire to pray, this desire to be holy, but you had a lot of words.
Mm-hmm.
and then there were some times when I thought, I need to pray, and there's no room for me to pray. in this situation, I think, is what I was feeling, which it was completely false. But it was this you know, struggle of how do we settle into this prayer. You know, after a time, it bore fruit, and I settled into that rhythm of praying, but I had to kind of submit to your leadership in that prayer, mm-hmm. to your cadence, your rhythm, your heart, your role of leadership as the spiritual head in our home, for it to start to bear fruit. But it is incredibly difficult to be vulnerable, especially if you're not comfortable doing that, if you've never done it before. You are raw before the Lord. You know, how do you begin to ask the Lord to heal you in areas X, Y, Z when you don't even want to admit that you have areas X, Y, Z to your spouse, mm-hmm. right? So those are really difficult things. So,
The foundation of though intimacy in prayer is intimacy in marriage, healthy intimacy in marriage, right? So, one or the other spouse, if you're leading, you need to be holy. But the kind of holiness we're talking about, usually, we both speak around the country. We'd love to come to your parish, by the way, and do a marriage retreat or something like that for you. But oftentimes I do Q&A during these when we speak, and it's really common for someone to come up to me and say, you know, my husband, actually it's mostly women, and it's just, I'm not picking on women, it just is the fact it is, because they tend to be a little more advanced than men spiritually and easier, open, more open. But how, you know, my husband's this, my husband, how do I deal with this, you know? And the answer I give them is the one that's in Scripture. Both St. Peter and St. Paul said it, be quiet and pray and be holy, because a lot of times people confuse piety with holiness, and they judge their spouses and they want to fix and correct them, mm-hmm. rather than love and serve them like Christ did. And so they have the model they're working off is Jesus with the whip in the temple, when the model the Holy Spirit is asking them to work off of is Jesus washing the feet,
right.
of the disciples,
right.
So in both cases, whether your husband's ahead or you're ahead of your spouse or your wife is ahead, words are the last things you should use. You should be ready when it's the right moment, but never critical, never condemning, always loving and serving and being an example, being Jesus for them. And he never, by the way, commands us to pick up a whip and cleanse our household of the evil sinners. Instead, all through the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is so clear, gentle, peaceful, kind, patient. These are all words that the Holy Spirit uses over
not
and over.
Not controlling.
Not controlling.
Right.
Not critical, not right. angry, not frustrated because they're not acting. And by the way, that's easy to say, especially when you're being wounded by the sinfulness of another, right?
Right.
It is hard. A high and difficult calling, but it's the calling of Jesus because he did all of the same things,
right.
while being wounded and abused by others.
Yeah, and you know, I think there's, and we could talk days on this topic, right? Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, you know, sometimes we come to this call of the Lord after we've been married for years. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we want what we've had all these years to change, mm-hmm. on a dime.
Right.
And it doesn't work that way. The same way as the Lord was gentle in calling us back to himself, and we start to have eyes to see and ears to hear, and we start to respond to that, we can't just look at someone and say, what's wrong with you? Why
right.
don't you want to do what I do? Especially if we married someone that when we married them, we fully knew who they were.
Right.
But we were under the impression that we were going to change them.
Which is insanity.
It's insanity.
But people do it all the time.
Right. You know, and if I could say anything to young men and women
yeah.
out there that are entering that time where they're considering marriage, you know, you have to consider what is a good father, what's a good husband,
yeah.
what's a good mother, what's a good wife, and seek out that person in Christ.
Yeah.
Because it's ludicrous to think that somebody's going to change just because you say I do.
Yeah.
Miracles happen all the time, but you know, there's a funny meme out there that says, honey, he ain't gonna change.
Right.
You know, and so we really have to Just as the Lord was patient with us, when we start to hear that call, if it's somewhere in the middle of our marriage, then we're going to have to be patient, and we're going to get the gift of being the instrument of healing for our husband.
As long as we're faithful in our own holiness, and that comes out gentle, kind, loving,
right,
patient.
Right.
We wrote an article together called Unequally Yoked. You can find it out on apostoliva.org, which is hard to spell. It's apostoliviae.org, apostoliva.org. And it's called Unequally Yoked, about this kind of situation. But back to the central question is, intimacy in prayer comes from intimacy in relationship and being safe, because prayer is a, especially for a man, is a very vulnerable place. I mean, it's vulnerable for both, but men are tend to be just less comfortable revealing feelings and dealing with the this sort of thing. And one of the things, one of the best books you could ever buy to develop intimacy in marriage is called The Five Love Languages, I think.
Right.
And it talks about how to learn to love your spouse in the language that they receive love. And it's, this is part of the process of being other-centered. So I would say something like that, studying about how to build intimacy in marriage. The other thing is that you should pray and fast for your spouse. Usually when I say to people who make this complaint, I say, do you pray for your spouse? They always say yes. And I guarantee you, this is what it looks like. Lord, please change them. Lord, please fix them. Lord, please show them they're wrong. That's not the way. It's Lord, please draw them to you. Lord, please heal them. Lord, please show them your love so that they can know and respond to you, and fast for them.
Right.
We usually ask, when I say, do you fast? I've actually never had a woman or a man say, oh, yes, I do fast for my spouse.
Yeah. And there's one more quick thought,
sure,
you know, that I had. I have beautiful grandparents. God rest their soul. And I recently discovered a letter that my grandfather had written that was exquisite in his prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you had ever met him, he was very stoic. Loving, he mm-hmm. would hug you and kiss you, but
good
he
provider.
Was great provider, but stoic leader of the family,
mm-hmm.
and non-emotive. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't go emoting to everybody. And I had this memory of the two of them praying the rosary, and she would start to fall asleep, and he would say, Linda, you know, and he would remind her to sit up, you know. So, you know, he wasn't an emotive man,
mm-hmm.
but he prayed and he led his family stoically, you know, and heroically.
Mm-hmm.
So don't expect your husband to be like you.
Right. Very good. So we're heading into a break. When we come back, we'll continue on marriage spirituality. Hey friends, I forgot to mention a quick link to a great article on what it means to be unequally yoked. You can send a text message to the phone number 38470, type in the message Y2G, that's the letter Y, the number 2, and G, and we'll send you a link to that article. God bless.
Nowadays, we seek personal enrichment in all aspects of our lives. We have personal trainers, financial advisors, professors, and attorneys, but how many of us have a guide for our souls? At spiritualdirection.com, you can find the resources to assist you in choosing the right spiritual director, read countless articles on spiritual topics, participate in a book club, and much more. Just go to www.spiritualdirection.com to find out how to boost your prayer life and grow closer to Christ. If you've always wanted to delve into the richness of the spiritual lives of the saints, the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation offers you the unique opportunity to learn more about Catholic spiritual theology through live, interactive online courses. Whether you are seeking personal enrichment, continuing education, or a graduate certificate in spiritual theology, the Avila Institute can help. Just go to www.avila-institute.com to start your spiritual journey today.
This is Dan Burke with Divine Intimacy Radio with Stephanie Burke, my top favoritist co-host in the world. That's no slight to any of the co-hosts, but she's also my top favoritist person.
Well, you know, I am married to you.
Well, but I mean it.
I know. Thank you.
Yeah. So today we're talking about marriage spirituality. Before we jump into that, I just want to remind you again, it's our 10th anniversary of spiritualdirection.com. So head on out there to spiritualdirection.com/10 years, and that's 10 years, and enter, and you can win a pilgrimage to France.
Right.
Wow. And
yeah,
then
come with us.
And a pilgrimage also to the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament this summer. Both are in July. One's 12th through the 14th, the pilgrimage to the shrine, and then to France, it's the last week in July and first week in August. But you can win it, all expenses paid. spiritualdirection.com/10 years. What's our first question?
Okay, we have a question from Stuart, and he says, are there any famous or obscure married saints that were contemplatives?
The answer is yes. I always use this example in my course at the Avila Institute on Foundations of Prayer and Union with God. Her name is Blessed Ludovica Albertoni, and she's been memorialized by the famous sculptor Bernini, who also sculpted the statue of Saint Teresa of Avila in ecstasy. We were in Rome recently.
Must be amazing.
And saw her in that in the chapel. But Blessed Ludovica was a laywoman who was married and was a Third Order Franciscan. And so she was known for her contemplative ecstasies, and Bernini captured that. There's also books on married saints that you can find. And it's a beautiful, absolutely beautiful, kind of reflection to come to the understanding that you can be a saint, you can reach the heights of contemplation. In fact, in teaching in this class, and I think even in our last few shows, we've talked about this, that God does not deny contemplative graces because of your state. So if a Carmelite nun who's cloistered gets to spend 4 hours a day, and you're a mom with seven kids, and you can only spend a half hour, if you're faithful in your state to that reality and to giving yourself to Christ in its fullness in your state, He will give you the similar graces.
And He will never call you to anything that is contrary to your state in life. So if you are called to deep prayer, it will not contradict your state in life. You know, you must be holy in that state. You must,
right.
You know, to pursue God is not to deny your wife or your husband.
It's the opposite.
Mm-hmm. So it will be authentic to the extent that it makes you holier, that it...
that your love increases for the other.
Right. That your state in life actually becomes more virtuous.
Yeah, one thing that can happen at times, especially if the marriage is not perfect, and one of the spouses is converted, they can then begin to pursue their spiritual life to the exclusion of their home life. But our primary vocation is the primary means typically through which we are sanctified. So, I shouldn't even say typically, I should say it is the primary means of our sanctification and our service and love. And authentic contemplative prayer, the deeper interior life, always results in an increase in love in the other. And in fact, it's the primary measure. So St. Teresa of Avila says in her Interior Castles, which is all about the deepest stages of mystical prayer, that the measure of the authenticity of the encounter with God is love for the other,
right.
Not just God. It's also love for other people.
Right. So if you're getting narcissistic,
there's something wrong with your prayer
wrong.
Life. Yeah,
something
there's something
wrong. So the next question comes from Angie. Tell me about distractions. It doesn't matter what time of day we pick up our prayer books for evening prayer, but as soon as we do, it instantly becomes a family yawn fest. Well, Angie,
good.
You know, welcome
to reality.
To reality.
Yeah.
And
it's a bummer.
It is a bummer, and make sure that you are using spiritual warfare prayers, do an Archangel Michael prayer
before
you go into prayer to help with those, because you know, the enemy comes in many forms, and he can come in sleepiness as well. So the next question
comes... Well, before you do that, one thing. I recently wrote a modification of a prayer that you can find in Deliverance Prayers for the Laity. It's called a punishment prayer. And I recently wrote that for our Apostolivia community because I've used it, and it's very powerful, and that is it's a prayer against the forces of the enemy that would seek to distract the weakest members or the weakest people in your life, the ones that he has most influence with, if you will. So what you point out is a really important thing, is to do spiritual warfare prayers, but then recognize that as you head into prayer, if it's still difficult, that your primary calling is to learn humility and patience,
right,
in and through this. And that's why it's happening, to help to mold you.
Right. And I don't know who the saint was, but he said, prayer is a battle.
Oh, it's actually reflected in the catechism.
Right. It is a battle. If you think it's going to go off, you know, fruitful and smooth, you know, keep at it.
Mental prayer is one of the hardest. It is one of the most efficacious things you can do outside. It is the most efficacious thing you can do in terms of holiness outside of the Mass and reconciliation. Of course, the rosary is up there too. But mental prayer is absolutely the hardest kind of prayer, and you know, no place for sissies. You got to wrestle through it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
All right.
Okay, the next question comes from Diane. Mm-hmm. What is your advice for a wife and mother that happens to be the only one in their household that is faithful to God on a deeper spiritual level? Let's say that the husband and teen adult children do not want to pray together and are very attached to the world. Any advice would be very much appreciated. Thank you. So we've covered a little bit of this, right?
We just recommend again, Stephanie and I wrote a post on this. It's out on apostoliva.org in the blog section called Unequally Yoked. It's apostoliviae.org.
Right.
apostoliva.org. And you can find the Unequally Yoked post out there, and that'll help you. But the bottom line is no criticism, patience. You know, it's a tough cross to bear, but
sacrifice, yeah, love, growing in holiness, fasting, and knowing that a life of a life of living a certain way is going to take a lifetime of undoing.
Right.
You know, it's not going to happen overnight, and you're just the lucky one called, the first one in, as
right,
it were. So
yeah, so check that out. We also covered
that. Stay strong, stay faithful.
Yeah.
Right.
We've covered that in our previous shows as well. So if you want to go out to spiritualdirection.com and listen to shows on marriage spirituality, we've talked about this quite a bit.
Right. Okay. Next question is from Johnson. What about the whole domestic church concept? How do we apply that to the culture today? Wow. Well, you know, before we knew about that wonderful book on
The
Little Oratory, which is a fantastic book.
Yeah.
Yep, look that up, which has some great suggestions on how to create the domestic church in your home.
Say it again. Little Oratory.
The Little Oratory.
Lila Lawler, published by
Sophia Press.
Sophia Institute Press,
right,
one of the best publishers on the planet.
Yep.
Catholic.
Yep. Beautiful book. So it has some great ideas. You know, you really have to think about what is it looking honestly in your home, especially, you know, if you're the spiritual lead in your home.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is, I don't know who Johnson is. I'm assuming this is a male.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. You know, that's great news,
mm-hmm,
because that you see it as the head of your family
and desire it.
Is already a promise that the Lord will work through you,
yeah,
to bring it to fruition.
Right.
Because there was actually, and I first heard this from Dr. Hahn, and it was some information as to, you know, how different members of the family, when they convert, how it impacts the family.
Mm-hmm.
So when a child converts, so say they're in a Catholic school, and the parents are not Catholic, but that the child starts to long for the Lord and come and speak on the Lord because they're so receptive when,
mm-hmm,
they're children. If that child converts to believe in Christ, and there's like a 17% chance that,
yeah,
the parents will come to Christ. If the mother converts to Christ, the family, the percentage of the family coming to Christ is about 30-something percent.
Right.
If the father comes to Christ, if he is the one who converts, guess what the percentage is?
I don't know.
It's like 94%.
Wow. It's huge. Whatever it is, it's very large.
The power of the father
leading,
spiritually leading in the home is extraordinary.
Right.
So that's great news. You know, how are some of those ways? Well, you start to look at where you have power and influence and voice to start undoing the world from your home. Be bold, be
loving.
Get rid
of your television.
You know, that was actually one of the first things that you and I did.
Yeah, I didn't have one when we came together.
Right. And I remember walking by the basement and I could hear Jordan and Ariel and Marcus watching TV downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I about came undone because of what I was hearing coming from the TV.
Right.
It wasn't filth, you know, it wasn't
holy.
Nothing like that. But it was statements and comments and things that were directly contrary to what we were teaching, you know. And so that move to take out of our TV of our home was a radical run. And I still remember the look on the kids' face looking at us at the dining room table as we said, by the way, we're getting rid of the TV.
That. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And really, the other thing we did from the beginning is putting up an altar in the middle of our home, which signaled what was most important. So the centerpiece is not a television with all the furniture aligned around the television, because that says who you worship really in the end. Where do you spend all hours and hours a day?
Right.
We don't do that. And if you really want to break and live in this culture and have a true domestic church, you need to have your furniture aligned around a crucifix and a prayer space. You need to pray with your kids. And I'm not saying I was perfect at this and we're running out of time. But the fact is, you got to fight like heaven to get the hell out of your home,
right,
to get it out of yourself, and to get away from the culture. It's very hard, and you really got to take it on head on and with a lot of energy to have success. So we're out of time.
Okay. Well, until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Till next time, amen.
Amen.
Learn more about The Interior Life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.